Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. I am Shane Bacon, and I'm sitting across the couch in person this week, Max. We did the phone a couple weeks in a row. In person, nice to see you again. We just played some golf.
Yeah, this is much better.
Way better.
More comfortable. Your voice is even better live.
We went out. We're recording on Sunday. Went out to Phoenix Country Club. Took a couple of our buddies out. Andrew Romer was your partner. Joe Skovran was my partner, who caddies out on the PGA Tour. Had a battle, but really it was you guys winning it because my friend Andrew got up and down from literally every spot on the golf course today. What does it feel like when you play in this format versus a week ago when you were trying to win a PGA Tour event? Similar?
High stress, maybe more stress. It was easy for me today. Piggybacked off Omer's just lights out 77, getting 16 shots.
I mean, 16. Now, before people start yelling on about this podcast,
11.
He's an 11. And we're playing off you, who plays as a plus five, right?
Correct. But he honestly did have a dial. He said that he went and got fit for a driver and a three wood. They clearly did a great job. He hit 1-3 wood, like 270 on that par five. And right after he hit that three wood, he said, maybe I should do this with all my clubs.
Get fit for all the clubs.
Yeah.
Just really just mind-boggling idea to go get fit for your golf clubs. But I know we'll get to segments, which I now has another name this week. We're four episodes.
We came up with a name?
There's a new name for segments now as we move into episode four. But I'm going to present you with a segment now that you can give the award out for, and that is the best golf shot you've seen this week. Typically, you might mention Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy, but the floor is yours.
I saw some good ones. I played the member guest with Joel Damon, friend of the pod. And we saw some good ones. Jimmy Gunn hit a three wood in the Derby from like 290 over a tree and hit the green. So that was pretty good. But it has to go to my partner, Andrew Romer. He hit a flop shot on the 12th hole today after very cleverly missing right of the water into the other fairway.
50 yards right.
50 yards right. But just a great angle to set up a shot over a tree, leave it short of the bunker, hits the rake, and he was stymied. And you know, let me just say, when someone's getting 16 shots and he hits a flop shot like Phil Mickelson to 6 inches, it's remarkable.
So I've been diving into some old Masters. I've been watching a lot of the old ones. You know, you can watch them all on YouTube, especially
Andrew
the final
did
rounds.
Remind me of Tiger and the Masters,
especially 2001 Tiger. But when you go back to 01, 2002, 2003, I mean, you were young at this time, but I feel like the full flop shot was a golf shot we all had and hit. And I rarely see it on tour anymore. You're not taking the full swing. Why is that? Why did that change?
The golf ball goes too far now. So if you hit a flop shot, it goes over the green.
3 minutes in, the first
it goes over the green. No, I'm not sure. Obviously, Phil has made it his staple. I use it quite often, but it's just such a high risk shot that maybe nowadays you kind of bail a little bit more and decide to take more of a mini flop and try to make a 15 footer. But I'm not really sure. But it was pretty cool to see Andrew Omer, of all people, completely bring it back. I mean, he has completely brought the flop shot back into the game of golf.
So you play with a lot of people. You play pro-ams, you'll play with high handicap players. Obviously, Andrew's a good player. He goes high with his chip. It doesn't matter. He had 40 feet of green to work with. He's going high with it. I truly believe this. He's the only guy I've ever met where I'm not trying to change that, because I think he's the only guy I know that I have more confidence if it goes straight vertical than if he hits the normal bump and run with a 52 or with a wedge.
Yeah, the one on 17 today was like a 40-yard pitch with 30 yards of green, and he flew it like 38 yards. I think, though, now that I sit back and I can reflect on, you know, all the great things I saw from him today, I think it's like when you play the Tiger Woods video game and you just pick the club or the shot that flies all the way to the hole. And I think maybe he's just hearkening back to maybe some good rounds on the PGA Tour video game. And obviously he's completely dialed in.
So a couple of weeks off, you played 5 weeks straight and you played well. Obviously we recapped a lot of that last week about how well you played at Riviera. when you take time off, at least from my experiences with professional golfers, there's two types of professional golfers. There's the guys that love golf and want to play, want to be out on the golf course, will play with anybody. And then there's the guys that look at it like it's their job and they go practice and they don't really play recreational golf that much. They might play to practice as well, but there's not a lot of fun rounds. You're obviously a guy in the former group. You like to play. You mentioned you played in the Mesa Country Club. Pro-Am, it got rained out. You guys only got to play one round, right?
Yeah, it was a bummer. It was really fun. You know, fortunately got invited by Joel. Great group of guys. I'd never played the golf course before. It was a great golf course. We got a ton of rain on Saturday, which would have been the final round. So unfortunately got rained out. But, you know, they had a cool derby after the first round for like the low 10 teams. A bunch of the guys came out, heckled. It was a blast. Obviously playing with Joel's always fun. Everyone knows he's as good a guy as it gets. But yeah, I like playing golf in the off weeks.
Are you working on anything? Like when you're out there today with me and we're playing and we're not taking it too seriously. We're carrying our own bags. Are you in the back of your head thinking of stuff, working on stuff, or is it you just kind of out there just swinging and enjoying yourself?
Today, I talked to my coach. Today, I decided I was going to start working on some things or at least kind of tinker with some stuff and some feel stuff. But yeah, like earlier in the week when I was playing with Joel, it was just kind of hit it. It was a hit and giggle, have fun, try to make putts, you know, just enjoy yourself a little bit more. But I don't like taking too much time away from golf just because I do love it. But I also need, it's more of a mental break. I can go hit golf balls and not feel like I'm working too hard. But this week, like I said, starting today, going into next week, it'll go back to work for me. I've never really understood how people can be good enough at golf where they don't touch one or touch a club for, you know, 10 days and can do it. I my body just doesn't remember how it works.
You know, it brings up that quote, the quote Tiger apparently said to John Daly years ago when Daly was kind of cracking on him about practicing. And he said, if I was as talented as you, I wouldn't have to do this. Saying that to John
for
Daly,
sure.
Tiger.
For sure, you see a lot of these guys
on the range all the time.
Yeah, you see a lot of these guys. It is remarkable. But then there's, you know, quite a few others. I think it does get documented how many others are more like me where they do need to hit golf balls, whether it's, you know, 50 or maybe take a day off and hit every other day. But there's probably more of those. But yeah, people like Daly, Joel's kind of like this. I've known him to take, you know, a couple weeks off and come back and it's completely the same. I'm sure there are certain things that feel rusty, but everybody has their own gig, own routine. And that's what's kind of interesting about the PGA Tour. I know certain people who would play a lot of events in a row and would not touch a club in their off week, and they use their first week as kind of like their prep.
Well, Koepka felt like he was doing that last year. I think he even said that in press conferences, right? He said, this is a week where I'm getting ready for next week's major.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. Obviously, if you have the freedom with your schedule to do so, I think it's smart, especially for someone like him who obviously is supernaturally just good at it. I feel like he could take a year off and pick up a golf club and contend in any golf tournament in the world. So I'm not like that. I need to have the golf club in my hand when I sleep, maximize the hours. But yeah, golf obviously is tricky throughout the whole season. You kind of learn as you get older, how to manage that. Cause there's going to be times probably later in the season where, you know, last year I remember being tired, where this year we're trying to hopefully not be, you know, along those lines. We're trying to be a little bit more fresh, longer into the season.
So I know we had the week off of you playing, so not a lot of talk about the way you played in an event. Of course, Patrick Reed won, Victor Hovland won. We were joking. We were sitting around after the round guessing how many wins Patrick Reed had, and we were all wrong. We were all under. He's got eight.
No, we forgot the Masters.
Yeah, we were kept forgetting the Masters. The biggest win, yes. But something I wanted to do, I pulled up your PGA Tour bio page, and I want to quiz you on your bio page. Let's see how well you've done. Now, this is from your personal information.
Okay.
And for people that don't know Max, he's a cool guy. He's collected.
Handsome.
So handsome. Great facial hair. Not super hairy. But he's really, really smart, and he remembers everything. So I actually feel like you're going to do well.
You're setting me up to fail.
I know. All right. If you were not a professional golfer, your job would be...
I might have said broadcaster.
Broadcaster is correct.
Which is so wrong now, because now that I've learned more being around you, I could never do it. Absolutely never.
Your earliest golf memory was?
Tiger 97.
That's correct. Two for two. I bet you'll be able to
say. It's almost like I came up with these at some point.
And I bet you'll be able to say where you graduated college. Now, this could be from years ago. You mentioned your two favorite TV shows.
Probably said Friends in the Office.
Man, you're so good. Favorite movie series?
Harry Potter.
I mean, these are kind of a look into it. You do have like three Kobe things on here, which is really cool that you said this years ago. But this is what I wanted to hit you on.
Oh, boy.
Your special interests. Now, a lot of these on the players' pages, I know our friends at the Shotgun Start always dive in on these things because they're hilarious.
Yeah, they are hilarious.
Your special interests are, I'm going to say, pretty lame.
Oh, they're super lame.
Very lame.
But I don't have special interests.
What are they? Let's hear them. What'd you tell them that you're
special? What did I tell them my special interests? I think working out.
Yes.
Watching sports.
You said
basketball.
You said going to the gym and basketball. Now, how are you doing at special interest number one, going to the gym?
I went to the gym. I worked out with my trainer, Caleb, at Glory Gaines Gym.
What day?
I don't know. I work out so often, I should just say every day.
Well, it's just special interest.
Yeah, it's special. It's unique.
Well, just to you. Not a lot of guys on tour do it.
I walked today. I worked out.
You walked, ate, carried your bag. You know, that was one of my questions. Somebody asked me, when's the last time you,
today,
Max Homa, a professional golfer, carried your own bag? You did pretty good.
Not bad.
Favorite city of San Diego? Favorite quote?
Well, it's changed now, but back then it might have been, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
Winners never quit. Quitters never win.
Well, that's from Joe. That's from Griner.
Is it really?
Yeah. My first ever pro event on the very last day, there's this whole long inside joke that one of our buddies who had never caddied before, knew almost nothing about golf, had written 18 quotes for the 18 holes for his player on the first tee. It was a fun, professional event. So we had been joking about that throughout the week. And I get onto the first tee on Sunday and I needed a top 10 to keep going. Like I said, first event. As a professional, the Fries up in Northern California, and I'm pretty nervous, like dry mouth. I don't know where my brain was at. And Joe walks over to me, goes, winners never quit, quitters never win. And I looked at him, I said, what? And he goes, inspirational quote, bro. And it loosened me up and we got going. So I think that's why I put that down there. Pretty good.
It's an inside joke.
Yeah, that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
On your media page.
Yeah.
We might need you to update that. I might need somebody to reach out because no mention of a dog.
No mention of a dog. Did not have Scotty back then.
You got a chance to hang out with your dog this week.
Oh, man.
Exciting part of your week. Favorite part of your week?
By far.
What was the reaction like?
She did her classic thing where she runs out of the door. We're at Lacey's parents' house. So Lacey's mom opened the door and she runs out and runs right to me and then almost says hi to me and then darts to Lacey and then comes back to me. But we all know where I stand on the
second
totem
fiddle
pole.
Is where you are. So we just had some sushi for dinner before we started this podcast because we were really, really fancy people.
Very fancy.
And it led into me wanting to bring this up. You changed your diet this year. You know, diet. Fitness, as we were joking about the fitness thing. I mean, it is a big part of professional golf and professional sports now. And I feel like with golf, it took a little longer for everybody to understand what's going on. You know, LeBron James famously says he spends $1 million a year on his body. You obviously spend $1 million a year on your body. But
very obviously.
You have switched your diet kind of in the new year and you've played well, so you've kept it going. Can you just talk a little bit about the diet change, why you did it, where you heard about it, and what it has done for you physically and how you feel?
Yeah. Had been looking for a while for like a little boost in energy. I noticed that when I wake up early for the early tee times, I'm a little lethargic and working out didn't really do that too much. You know, obviously made me feel good, but it never boosted my energy levels throughout the day. I'd look, you know, kind of thought about something in the diet realm, but didn't really know. Everyone's got their own thing, right? You know, some people might eat something healthy, but it's actually not helping them too much. Played a golf tournament thing, a fun, like a member guest thing with Chase Utley, who is obviously a very famous Dodger and awesome dude. He told me to watch this documentary on Netflix called Game Changers. It basically talks about removing meat and basically going plant-based. It was pretty eye-opening. Obviously, I know these documentaries are biased here and there, but I decided to give it a shot. He had mentioned how he had cut out all dairy and felt really good. So I sat down with my chef. We made this big plan. I told him we needed to change it all up. No, I sat down and asked if my wife would be nice enough to like do this with me.
So how many people are listening? Do you think we're like, cool, he's got a chef?
Hopefully less than three, because there's no way I have a chef. But yeah,
such a straight face when he said it. He almost had me.
So did it. It was, you know, at first it was just going to be a trial, just to see if it did anything, even if it was a placebo. But it was pretty interesting. Right off the bat, I had a big boost. Felt like maybe I was a little less foggy. I think Gary Woodland did something similar not too long ago, said that he felt a lot better. So it's just something I've been doing. I've now kind of had something to stick to. I also like the fact that I have a game plan almost every single day about, like, I have to plan out what I'm going to eat and how I'm going to do it. If I have an early workout, let's say, like, I have to figure out what I'm going to eat in the morning. When I'm on the road, it's, you know, even trickier, but in a weird way, it almost locks you in a little bit, because you are now kind of a little bit more regimented. And I remember another quote, Kobe thing, in his book, I think the most recent book he had written, he mentioned how he tried really hard to be very disciplined off the basketball court in his practice and all these things, because he thought that it made him more disciplined when he was doing his craft, when he was playing basketball. So I'd always wanted something like that. I didn't know what it would be. And this food thing has actually been quite interesting, because not only has it made me feel better, but I do feel like being disciplined has maybe given me an edge mentally when I'm on the golf course. I think I might be a little bit more disciplined when I play.
Speaking of discipline, because, you know, now you know what you can and can't eat. As you said, you've got to plan it out. You've got to think about it when the day starts, to maybe what I'm going to have for lunch, dinner, snacks on the golf course. I brought some banana.
Yeah, because you've been doing it a little bit.
We've been dabbling. Cindy's been better than I have, but we had some banana beef jerky today, which sounds really weird.
And just banana jerky. Missed all of the beef.
It was okay.
It was okay. It was okay. Slimy.
It was a little too slimy. We've had it for a couple weeks.
I felt like it was one of those things where...
Well, I poured water. You're not supposed to pour water on it. Yeah, I poured a bottle of water on it.
Well, that's all right.
And left it in the bag. Is that not how you eat that?
I don't know.
I thought plants needed water. I'll
ask my chef.
Yeah, please send a note out. But so discipline, you know, you have a week off this week. You got a week off next week. I've always wondered about, because I have a job where I'm not at an office every day. And so I have to be disciplined personally to get stuff done. And it's not always I need to write the story, or I need to do this podcast, or I need to research X, Y, and Z, winged foot, whatever, you know, whatever golf course we're doing. Maybe it's just watching Masters, old Masters, to get myself, you know, in that mindset as we get closer and closer to Augusta National. For you, how has the transition been throughout your professional career in terms of discipline, in terms of how you prepare, how you practice, how you spend your time on off weeks? Because, you know, in theory, you could just sit around for 5 or 6 days and do nothing. I mean, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to, you know, care really if you didn't do anything.
Yeah. It's changed a lot. I think, I've always been a big practice guy, so that's never been something I had to work on. I never had to think to myself, hey, we have 4 days left, we better get it in gear. I usually keep it, you know, pretty tight in that area. But what I did notice is, as I was playing kind of poorly, 3 years ago, I would miss cuts, and some nights go to the bar, but more or less I would just go eat kind of bad food, like kind of the sad people food, eating dessert, going to, you know, greasy places and never really thinking twice about it. And I don't think that this is something that is definitely hurting or was definitely hurting my golf, but I will say that as I've done this diet, my brain probably was a little more foggy. It wasn't helping me. It wasn't like I was waking up with like less lethargic all of a sudden. Now I'm waking up more so, and I'm going to practice, but maybe I'm not as clear. But also, like I said, it's just being more disciplined. Like, don't play poorly and then go double down. It's like the famous golf saying, don't make two bad decisions in a row or hit two bad shots in a row. So how about we don't miss the cut and then immediately think, okay, let's go get, you know, some really heavy, you know, Southern food right, that you could get on runs on the PGA Tour. So I think that's where I've changed. I've started to value a little bit more the off weeks and how I conserve energy or how I spend my time, you know, make sure that I spend time with my dog and really enjoy my peace and quiet. While also, like I said, I will always be a big practice guy.
Yeah, so enjoy being a professional golfer. I mean, you're to a point now where you wanted to get to.
For sure.
So if you're not enjoying it, then what are you even doing? Something I thought was really interesting as you were talking about managing your time, tournament weeks as well. You played, I believe it was Thursday, you didn't play great at the Waste Management. And obviously, right, it's in our backyard, right, and I was there.
Right.
And you'd walked off the golf course, and I was standing there, and I was talking to your caddy and said, what's the plan? I think you and I were going to go get some stuff for, yep, the podcast. And he said, oh, we're probably going to go practice. And you came off, and you didn't want to. You didn't want to hit balls. You were kind of done. And I just thought it was interesting because you hear so much, oh, I had a bad day. I got to go beat balls. And sometimes the answer is just to get away from it. Just step away for a little bit.
I think the biggest thing I've matured on is that, as far as the whole professional golf stuff goes, we had a very strict plan, Joe and I did, for these 5 weeks. We knew it was going to be a long 5 weeks, obviously. So we weren't going to go to the range as much after. So just because I played not great, I didn't think that I should just completely give up on that plan. Now, also, a big part of that was I didn't feel like I hit it that poorly that day, and it was just one of those things where I knew what I was doing. I didn't feel like I needed to go hit balls. There are other weeks at Riviera on Friday after the round, we went and hit balls for a solid, you know, with my coach was there, but we went and hit balls for a solid 30 or 40 minutes to work on stuff, and that was after I was playing pretty well. So it just depends. I think, again, it's a maturity thing. It's starting to understand how I perform my best, and some days I feel like my swing is lost, even if I shoot a low number and I say, okay, I got to go hit some balls or some chips or some putts. Other days I could shoot 3 over and know exactly what I'm doing on my golf swing. I don't need to go hit balls. And if that's one of those weeks where I'm going to be playing quite a bit after, I won't hit any. And you can also tell with Joe too, like he can seem fried at times, and it's like, why, what are we going to go really accomplish? If I think there's a big upside, I'll try and give it a run on the range. But if not, at times it's just, how about we just go cool off and get some food and hang around.
Is it observing other players? Is it talking to other players? You even mentioned when you won at Wells Fargo last year, you were talking to me earlier and you said you talked to a player the night before the final round who'd won a lot and just kind of picked his brain on what you should expect during the final round with the lead. Are you kind of looking at Tiger on the range or Phil on the range or Charles Howell on the range? These guys that have been doing this for years and years and years, maybe they're not spending 4 hours hitting range balls. You know, maybe they're out practicing or doing different things. Is that something you see that you did early in your career that now you've taken away from different players? And I'm sure you do, but do you give this information out to young players that come up and talk to you?
Yeah, no, it's interesting about that. That is, I used to look around at what everyone was doing and want to go do what they're doing. And then I realized a year and a half or so ago that everyone does something different. So do what you do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like, that's what I learned from everybody. Tiger sometimes goes hits balls after, sometimes doesn't. Ricky almost never hits balls after unless it's, I think, a major. So he's got his thing. All these things work. Some people hit balls when they feel like they need to and don't when they don't feel like they need to. And that's where I fell into the camp. I did feel like when I was playing poorly and I wasn't getting a lot of reps, because I wasn't playing all four tournament rounds, I would go hit balls after every round, just trying to find something to go forward. So that's what I did that year. But then obviously looking back on that, that is taxing on your body, your mind, all that. So in the last 2 years, we have become...
Wow, the both royal of us, we. Your royal we.
I did. I didn't even nice. Mean to. But Joe and I had talked about more conservation of energy through a season. Last year, I did feel tired, and like, again, it's usually more mental than physical, but I felt pretty tired by the time the playoffs came around. And you want to be more in tune with your body and all that, so you have to pick and choose, or I have to pick and choose when I'm going to hit balls. And like I said, there's some days where I know exactly what I'm doing, and maybe I made a few bad swings and I don't want to beat myself up about it. There's other times where I feel like it's kind of right on the cusp and I want to go pick that one thing that I'm going to roll with for the next couple days. But yeah, it's just being more individualistic. Like, don't look around and think that just because Tiger's doing this, it must be the best thing to do. Everyone has their own thing these days. And, you know, that's kind of the beauty of watching people in person on the PGA Tours. Gosh, some people are great wedge players and don't hit a ton of wedges, but that's their thing. And some people are great wedge players and hit a ton of wedges.
Right.
I mean, there's no right answer. So you have to find what's right for you. Even like, you know, we're talking about playing member guests. And what you've been doing. You haven't hit range balls at all lately, and you've been firing low, low numbers.
Yeah, so, last two rounds, I haven't hit a range ball.
Yeah, so you don't need to go find anything. You need to be an athlete and see your shots and play your shots. So
that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. I haven't hit range balls the last two rounds of Phoenix.
And you've been balling.
Yeah, I played well both times. What I have done lately, and this is diving into my golfing brain, is about a nine-part podcast series for us that maybe we can do in the off season. But I've been trying so hard the last year, year and a half, 2 years to just kind of believe in my abilities on the golf course. And the thing I realized was when I had a tournament or a big event, I always looked at it as an 18-hole event or a 36-hole event or a 72-hole event. And I looked at that, and for anybody, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, if you went to him and said, I need you to think about the entire tournament all night, you know, as you're getting ready for tomorrow or in the morning as you're eating breakfast, it'd be a lot for those guys as well. And so I have just been trying to, on the first hole, the only thing I care about is the drive on one. And if you hit it, wherever you hit it, then you go hit the second shot, because you can't plan out the day. You can't plan out the round anyway, because you don't know where you're going to hit it on certain holes.
What I thought was, you made a great point on our very first hole today. You hit the fairway, had a maybe a 5-iron into the par 5, and pin was on the left side. Left isn't really very good, and you tugged it right. It was fine spot, pin high right. But you, walking up to the green, talked to me about how you were frustrated because you've been working on trying to commit and just hit the shot that you're seeing and not worry so much about don't hit it left or don't hit it right. And that is one of the more important things in golf is, like you just said, trust in your abilities. And that goes back to whether you're going to practice or not after the round. At some point, every golfer, whether you are a 20 handicap, a plus handicap, or, you know, a 5 handicap, you have to play a round of golf where you just try to hit the shot at where you're aimed and don't worry about the ifs or the don'ts. Just hit the ball. And then if you will then start to see a consistent miss, and then you can go to the range and work on that consistent miss. But if you are constantly playing don't golf or what if golf, you're going to be doing something with your hands at the ball that you can't work on later. That's not something that you go to the range and all of a sudden feel. Like you have to give your body and mind the opportunity just to fire away. And if you're then somebody who tends to pull the golf ball, change your aim, like just change your start line, and then you can now minimize those misses. But if you're not giving yourself the opportunity to even learn what that is, you have no chance in putting together, you know, let alone like a 36 hole day, but like an 18 hole day where you're not going to make a big mistake.
So we have asked for about 3 weeks for questions from people. We finally decided we're going to do this in an off week.
We're doing it.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll return with questions from you people that we're excited to answer. All right, we're back. Just a reminder, you can follow Max on Twitter at MaxHoma23. You can follow myself at Shane Bacon on Twitter and Instagram. Max has Instagram now. He's at Max.Homa. And you can use the hashtag GetAGripPod. That's the easiest way to submit a question. We got a ton of questions. Some were great. Some were horrible. Sorry, they were bad ones. That's your fault, not ours. Before we get to questions, a new thing that I'm starting this week. I like how we just keep adding deals. This is going to be an hour. Hour podcast of us adding things. We both like Twitter because we look at Twitter, not all the time.
Yeah, I don't like it all the time.
But we try really hard to be positive on Twitter. I feel like that's something you and I both like to do.
We're trying.
We're just trying to have fun on social media. Yes. That's our entire point.
Like a flicker of light in the cave of sadness.
The hellscape that is social media. So the thing we're going to do is every week from this point forward, we're picking a random Twitter follower that has no idea we're doing this, and we're going to compliment that person. Both of us are going to do it. And this week, I'm starting, Max, and I'm starting with a guy named Greg Thompson. His Twitter handle is at golf69ski88.
Now, that's why you picked him.
My thinking is where your mind was going the wrong way. I'm assuming his low career score is 69. Golf 69. I don't know what ski 88 means.
High speed, 88 miles an hour, obviously.
Skiing, yeah, going 88?
He's flying.
Is that how fast people go?
Greg Thompson does.
Greg with two G's. So Greg Thompson got a little love this week on the internet because I asked people to send in the dorkiest golf thing they had, and his was not dorky at all. He's the guy that sent in the Masters bathroom that, if you haven't seen it, just go on Google and type in Masters bathroom and click on the news link, because Golf Digest and golf.com wrote about it. But
then delete your search history, because that's
the
it.
Masters bathroom. Yeah.
You don't want anybody knowing you just typed in Masters bathroom.
That's actually
Google.
Fair. Maybe you're building a new house. Maybe you want a really nice Masters bathroom. So here, he's a big giveaway guy. I'm going to start. He loves the retweets of the giveaways. I respect that. Free balls, free clubs, flags. Maybe Max Homa will do this one day. Maybe you'll sign a shirt, a used shirt. Maybe one you've already know, don't even wash it. Sign it. He's a Wisconsin Badger fan, which is a negative because they would always beat Arizona in the Elite Eight, and that was always a bummer. But he's going over to the Old Course in late May, and he's looking for somebody to jump in the ballot with him. Late May, he's asked if anybody's out there. So I just want to let people know.
Well, Shane, you can do it.
May's tough for me. Mm. If it was March, I would consider.
Well, what if Greg moves it?
Greg, and March is tough. March is next month. It's late February.
Well,
if he moves, I'll talk to him. Okay. We'll see what kind of miles he's got. Maybe he's a big miles guy as well. But I just wanted to say, if you're out there and you're going to be in St. Andrews in late May, hit up my guy, Greg Thompson, our Twitter person of the week. Max, you got something nice to say about Greg?
Two G's. And Greg, which is high class.
Okay.
That's pretty great. Doesn't follow me on Twitter.
Wait, Greg?
No.
Greg, the Masters bathroom guy,
which I love, because, I mean, Twitter is there's not a lot of good.
Kind of a somber moment in the podcast.
But he does ask quite often on his Twitter page for tickets for Saturday or Sunday of the Masters. You would think that he'd have them somewhere in his Masters bathroom, but he doesn't. So Greg with two G's, you will not be getting two tickets.
Wow.
For me. Now, but seemed like a nice guy. Like I said, high class fella. Two sport athlete, golf and skiing.
Golf 69, ski 88 on Twitter. Greg Thompson. Greg, you are our first ever compliment. Did we compliment him? Did we say anything? We complimented him. Yeah, you were mad. I felt slighted. Greg, go follow Max.
You don't have to, Greg. It's all right, man. I saw his bathroom. He's got bigger fish to fry.
The Masters bathroom is unreal.
Yeah.
That thread is in my top five favorite threads that I had on Twitter since I've ever been on Twitter.
There were some crazy ones.
Unreal.
But the thing
people.
About the Masters bathroom, which was so cool, but like different, is when you go in there and you sit on your throne in the bathroom, and that one, you don't need to be on your phone. Maybe that's why he doesn't follow me on Twitter. You're just looking around at the sights.
I don't think, have I ranted about this with you before, that all these golf resorts don't have the Apple TVs in the bars where when the sports ends at the end of the night, they just can put on the Masters app on Apple TV and just play old Masters. If you and I were at Bandon Dunes, for instance, and it was 10 p.m. and all the sports that we'd lost money on had ended, we say, hey, do you mind throwing on 87? We want to watch the 87 Masters.
We want to watch Jack.
You and I would sit there. Yeah, that was 86.
We won 87.
Oh, 87.
See, we got to watch more.
We need to know 87.
I'm blaming the golf courses.
Langer? Maybe?
Sure.
Ian?
That was 3 years before I was born, so we got to ask you since you were probably 12.
See, you're going in on this thing about me being old. It's ridiculous. All right, we're going to get some questions. I'll start.
Okay.
And this is relevant to the day. Cody Rowe asked, how many shots do you give me when we tee it up?
Yeah, I feel like people on Twitter don't realize how good you are. I only give you two. You beat me by three today, straight up three.
What'd you shoot?
Five, one under, I think. You shot four under, right? Four, very easy four under.
Didn't make a lot of putts, but it was solid. I'm playing solid right now. It's
fun. So, Shane's really good. So, one aside. We are going to be member guest partners ourselves.
Yeah, we are.
In April.
Going to be a great
pod. Going to be a big time
pod. Speaking of great pods, the eighth hole today, par three.
Oh my God, I thought we had it. The ball was in the air. It was like just absolutely flagged. I'm watching Shane. He's posing. You didn't say a lot. You're used to it missing, obviously, because I am just yelling, go in. Omer's yelling, go in. And it starts trickling. And it looked like it was right in the center of the hole, and it like, came up short.
Yeah, five feet short or something.
But if it would have been the best pod ever.
Would have been just, a slurrier pod.
It's a little slurrier. But those are the best kinds.
It might have been at about 11 tonight when we started.
But
it.
Man.
A little later. All right, I'm going to give you the floor, Max. Let you go. I'm going to let you fire off. This is like a snake draft. Let's fire off two.
Okay. So I got one from he used to be my friend, Brandon Harkins, professional golfer.
Wait, you're getting questions from pals? You're throwing up the... I'm throwing all randoms.
I got some randoms. Okay. This was a good question. All right. This is my question.
I like Brandon Harkins a lot.
Yeah, I used to like Brandon Harkins a lot too. He asked me do you condition the arm hair or just shampoo? I'll say when it's a summer in Alabama, I'm doing both.
What did my buddy Kevin say in that text thread the other day?
He said,
I can't tell where your facial hair starts or
my chest. I mean, come on, guys. I'm so manly.
Max is hairy, guys.
I'm hairy.
The joke's dead.
It's jokes that, but I will probably just shampoo it in the winter because you
know, fancy shampoo since you're fancy now or
no my Scotty my dog shampoo
oh dog
better
shampoo.
For thick hair.
Okay, we need to put this out there. In 2 or 3 years, as the Max fame train continues to go uphill, we need to go back to Digest in a few years. You need to pose. Before you do it, we're doing full arm wax.
Yeah, or just long sleeves. That's a better idea.
Yeah, but the wax would be funnier for people.
Funnier for you.
Way funnier for us.
It hurts. All right, I've seen 4-year-old version. That didn't look great. Kelly Clarkson agrees. All right, other question from, I didn't read this guy's name till just this moment, so apologies, but from at the Arse Badger. Question.
A-R-S-E?
Yeah, A-R-S-E. So he's obviously a classy, censoring himself. Question, if you could have one shot back to hit again, professional or amateur, what would it be? I'm 3-putt my last hole of college to lose to Thomas Peters of Illinois in the semifinals of national championship. And if I could have anything back, it would be the wedge. Well, it would probably be the putt, but it would be the wedge I hit into the back of the green that set up
where,
the 3-putt.
Where was it?
It's at Capital City Club in Atlanta. But pretty, I guess, cool. I'll be down the road playing the Masters now, so I'm kind of maybe hopefully getting a bit of a comeback story. But yeah, that one stunk because it was like a team event. You know, you got all the boys around.
So were you all square or were you losing?
It was it was the 20th hole.
Okay. So it was extra holes.
Yeah. And it was, so everyone was done, just me and him. Everyone's watching and we had a great season. You didn't want it to end. And of course I 3-wiggled. So that one stunk. So it would be either that wedge or that putt. But yeah, that was kind of one of the easier ones of all. Some of these questions are tough because obviously best favorite shot, all these things. Like, right. You have a lot of them. Worst shot, you have a lot of them. This one was kind of
the life mulligan comes up to you quickly. Yeah. Charlie. Hey Charlie, what's up? Charlie probably doesn't follow your boy.
Who's my boy?
The last guy.
Wait, why not? Charlie?
No, I'm just saying, this guy's classy.
Oh, he is classy.
He said, speaking of Masters, if you were to drive up Magnolia Lane with windows down and stereo up,
oh, yeah,
like Stinson did with Ice Ice Baby, what song is being played, Max?
Oh, man. I feel like it's a classy place. I feel it's like a Mozart ballad. Because I don't want to get kicked out.
Yeah, last thing you want to do
I'll ask them what their favorite song is.
Where are your nerves in terms of doing something
wrong
to make the green jackets mad, since you've never been there, where does that sit in the early part of the week in your brain?
Right at the top. I know that it is a place of tradition. They have their set of rules. I know that it is pretty strict. I know that the spectator thing's strict, the phone thing's strict. Like, I know all of this, and I am incredibly nervous. I don't think I'll do anything wrong. I've fortunately been brought up to be a pretty respectful adult, but at the same time, I don't know if your shoes aren't clean enough if you get kicked out of the Masters. I don't know if you shank one, you get kicked out of the Masters. I don't know the rules, so I'm really nervous. I think that's a big part of the practice round I'm going to go play. I'm gonna ask the questions that I need to ask. I'm not going to ask where it breaks towards Rays Creek or
Are you okay with this shirt?
Collary enough? Like, I need to know.
Collars, but you need to win a Masters first.
Oh, man.
You win the Masters, you can go all week, no collars. We saw that in 2019.
Okay, you're right. Well, I'm going to remember
that. You know, did you see the the John Rahm no collar shirt.
Yeah, I talked to Colin Morikawa about it.
What'd you think?
I told him, sweet collar. And then he looked at me and said, I've got nothing, man. I didn't like the shirt, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
and John went back to a collar this week. I think everybody did, and John played awesome.
Yeah, go back to the collar thing. The collars are there for a reason.
It's there for a reason.
It looks good. Tiger's the only human that's ever been able to pull off the no collar. And he's Tiger.
It was a turtleneck, and he also might be the only person to pull off a turtleneck ever. He can pull off anything. He pulled off the baggy pleats. He pulled off the baggy jeans. He pulled off the yellow or the bleached hair. He makes everything. And
I don't think I'm going to go with he pulled off the bleached hair. It was pretty bad.
I think he pulled it off.
He
could do anything.
He looks great in golf clothes, Tiger.
He really does.
I'm not sure I can say the same for his out of the office attire.
I mean,
a lot of what looks like a shirt he bought at Express Men. He probably didn't. But it looks like he got it from Express Men. When I graduated college, I got a job, this job working for this Marriott doing, I mean, I couldn't tell you what I did with my job. I just remember I went to Express Men and bought 6 shirts.
Smart.
If you saw one of the 6 shirts now, I think you might want to fight me. That's how bad they were.
Well, see, my thing with Tigers is, he's got the Michael Jordan effect. Michael Jordan had a hoop earring and he pulls it off. Tiger, to me, anything he does is cool. Like, he is, we always say, he's the needle in the world now full of influencers. He's the influencer. You have a really maybe eccentric or weird outfit you have that you don't know if it's going to sell. Give it to Tiger. I buy it.
Would you be down for an energy drink sponsorship personally, you?
Yeah, we've gone over this. I'm down for all sponsors.
So, do you mind telling the people listening your new theory on the sponsors? Because right now you're wearing a sponsored shirt. Let's give a shout out to MGM Grand.
Oh,
you're
talking about my Tramp Stamp one?
Travis Matthew. You've got Titleist. They all support you. You're a great guy. They love you. You are now in the camp of what about sponsors?
I didn't say I was all in on it, but I asked Shane at dinner if a company...
Lower back. Can we call it a lower back?
We'll call it a lower back. I'm so sorry. If a company offered you $1 million and up to get a tattoo of their logo on your lower back, would you do it? I was a quick yes.
But you know,
Shane offered double as much money as I did, so I'm clearly way more
think the lower back on your shirt sponsor is great. It would make news. People would write a story about it. You'd get pictures taken of you at golf tournaments. It would at least be something. It depends. All right, Cody asked to you, Max, and this goes to something this week that is, you know, it's a little enlightening, I think. It's a little surprising, but it is part of what comes with playing well. If you keep playing like this, Cody said, this is from Cody, and I am, maybe he's involved with the PGA Tour and PGA of America. If you keep playing this way, you may find yourself in a Ryder Cup soon. What would that mean to you, Max?
I mean, it'd mean a lot. I love team events. I've picked the worst sport for those. I don't really get to play on a team anymore. It would be awesome. I've watched, obviously, tons of Ryder Cups. They seem electric. I was fortunate enough to play on a Walker Cup team, which was as much fun as I've ever had on a golf course.
National Golf Links,
National
right?
Golf Links, pretty sweet.
And you have a record in the Walker Cup.
I do.
Are the lone human to ever make a hole-in-one in a Walker Cup match, right?
I am the lone human.
That's it.
I also lost the match.
Did you really?
But we had already clinched, so I would have won.
What hole was it you made it on?
6, I think.
That's one of the famous holes around
there.
Yeah,
short par 3.
It's like a template hole.
Yeah, they put it right. What does that mean?
Template hole is like the Redan and the Brits.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and those
sure.
Things.
There's like a bowl in the middle of the green, which is where the pin was.
Like a bowl, like
a pasta
like a
bowl.
FedEx Cup bowl.
Yeah, like a trophy bowl.
Perfect,
something like that. So yeah, I made a hole in one.
Everybody that likes architecture turned.
Yeah,
our
I'm
podcast
a big architecture guy. But yeah, so Ryder Cup would be so sick. I've heard that it's just like unlike anything you've ever experienced in golf. So that'd be something else. I'm nervous about the Masters. I don't know how I'd feel about that one.
19th on the Ryder Cup.
I know,
right now. 19th, top 20, okay. Dude.
I'm right there.
You need to like start wearing
2 wins. I think I would have a.
You need 2 wins. You
strong
think.
Case.
Okay.
Or one Masters.
So just now, this is just a thought. I'm throwing this out there. I hadn't really dove into this yet. You should win twice. Like, you should do it now.
Let me think about it.
Just take your time. We'll talk about it next week.
We'll talk about it.
But if that gets you on the Ryder Cup team, just try to do that.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, I mean,
still win twice.
I think that makes sense. I'll talk to my chef.
Perfect. David Gabriel, I was interested in this question because...
Wait, you cheated me in the snake.
But I think this is a great one because I'm very interested on who you'd list here. And I feel like you have your answers in your head because you're one of those people
partner?
That know these. David Gabriel said, best three swings on tour.
Okay. Number one, I still love Tiger swing. It's so sick. So Tiger always. Two... Rory, probably. It's like the most dynamic golf swing where it's just it's got more going on than Tiger's is so simple to me. Rory's has more going on, but it's so powerful, it's so balanced, it's just like elegant.
Max is smiling while he's talking about this.
I love
right now,
golf swings. It's the best. And then third is, I mean, Adam Scott's always hard to pass on. Louis Oosthuizen is hard to
so
pass
good.
On I used to have like my favorite swing off the beaten path, like used to be Graham Dillette, just because it was just like, if you ever watched it, it was like the sickest.
You know,
thing
Graham Dillette
seen.
I'm blocked on Twitter. You know, Graham Dillette, he's like the PGA Tour player that I'm not sure I've
makes
ever.
Makes no sense. Is Graham's the nicest, best
I've
dude ever.
I've never.
I have to talk to him about it.
I can guarantee you.
I I've hope there's a real reason.
Tweeted at him. I don't tweet mean stuff.
Maybe he doesn't like bacon, man.
That's a fair
he's
point.
He's a big pita guy, like
he's
we talked
Canadian.
About today.
It's kind of, they kind of go hand
Canadian
in
bacon. You're American bacon.
Fair,
you don't
fair.
See the rivalry.
That's a fair point. So you're going.
So I'm
going to
go
Tiger, Adam
I'm
Scott,
go Tiger,
and Rory.
Adam Scott. I don't know if I like Louis better than Adams.
You know, Mickey Wright passed away this past week.
I saw that. Holy
cow! Do you see these videos
my
of her golf
gosh.
Swing?
Gosh, yeah, that's.
But it just ideal. You know the power through her golf swing.
Yeah,
like I probably watched somebody posted one of those things on social media, and it looped. I probably watched like 5-10 loops
in
a row.
Take your eyes
it was unreal.
It's pretty amazing. Some of these golf swings, I would say now it seems like we have more unique golf swings in the sense that they're not cookie cutter.
Right.
I think back in the day, a lot more looked similar, unless maybe I'm just blending them together. But, you know, big left heel off the ground, big left knee kick going back, high hands. Nowadays, you have some flats, some. You know, like JT gets his hands way up.
Right.
Some really on plane, some kind of that move around a bit. So I don't know why that's changed. Must be the golf ball going too far. The funny thing is, I'm actually kind of on board with this whole rollback thing, but it is fun.
Well, what do you mean you're on board with it?
Like, I don't mind it. It's good. I don't think of the golf ball. I would like the driver to be smaller, but I'm like on board, but I like to pick at everybody because everyone gets so mad.
Well, So there's been like heated debates. Brannell's been in this big
heated,
debate thing on social media, and people are going at it. I this is my take. I don't really care either
I
way.
I don't care.
I don't have a hot. I don't have an opinion. If they tomorrow, if they said, "Hey, your driver is going to go 270 if you hit it
Agreed.
As hard as you can, and it's going to go 250 if you tow it, and the ball didn't go anywhere." Okay, and if we still use this stuff now, that's fine too. Either way, now I get that for you guys and certain golf courses, that's the stuff that bums me out.
Sure.
Because I would love to see the golf courses that have been around for 100, 150, 200 years still be playable.
Sure.
But they still play them and you still got to win.
They're
like the old courses
playable.
Having an open, what, next year?
They're still playable. I mean, I don't, again, I'm all for rolling it back. I think the big or something about the distance, fixing the distance in some way, again, wouldn't care either way. The big reason I want them to do it is just to prove, I think my biggest pet peeve that people say about professional golfers or that I read about is, well, you guys just don't know how to work the ball anymore. And I absolutely guarantee we do. It's just, you just don't need to. And I'm of the camp when you play a golf course like Riviera. And then we saw it at the Presidents Cup with Royal Melbourne. Melbourne?
Greg Thompson. I think Australians
Melbourne.
Tend to say Melbourne.
So we got to see shot shaping. The
you
golf
can
course.
Say Melbourne.
Okay, yeah, I've never been, so I'll say Melbourne. But so we got to see that demanded shot shaping and that people can still do it. So I would like that part
maybe to be more, I would like for that part to happen so that we could prove that it's not a lost art. It's just right. not, we just don't
you
just, need it
You
as
don't
much.
Need to do it right now yeah. with the ball
or you
with
don't
the
see
as
much. Or the, like, again, with a lot of these things that go on Twitter with the equipment stuff, you are just assuming things. Like, you are assuming that we hit lob wedge in every hole. Last year I started charting it because it was so annoying. This is why Twitter does get to me sometimes. Ugh, I'm just so tired of watching people at driver wedge on every hole. So I started writing down every day what I hit into every hole. And it's just, it's remarkably less wedges than you think. I mean, sure, it might be more short irons overall, but I still hitting a few four irons a day. But you people just like to make, you know, it's kind of anything that goes to the narrative.
Right.
And or works for their narrative. So that gets old.
Well, but it would just be to me as a golf fan, first and foremost, if you gave Justin Thomas or Colin Morikawa, you know, give some young guy a golf club and a ball he's never used, and in a week, he's going to have it figured out. That's how talented professionals are at their professional crafts.
But there's just people who think that that's just not true.
Right.
I think that that's silly.
Anyway, I don't want to get into it because I really
my questions.
Yeah. Let's get to your questions.
I didn't mean to dive into the real heavy stuff, the golf Twitter.
But you know, I think it's a fair point that you and I are having is people are so you said it perfectly. There's so much assuming on what happens professionally on a golf course week to week, and what would happen if it changed.
For sure.
And both those things are probably incorrect.
For sure. The I've watched some golf today and I now know how it works for everybody is exhausting.
For people at home, I just need you to understand this one point. Because you have PGA Tour Live now in your life, and you probably spend time watching it. If you're a golf fan, you are at your office or you're at home on Thursday and Friday, and you're watching six guys play a golf course all day long. And that's why PGA Tour Live is great. I think that's why it's one of the coolest things in sports is because you get to watch Tiger and Phil and
every
Ricky,
shot.
But maybe there's a Max in there occasionally. Yeah. You were on PGA Tour Live a couple weeks ago, or Lee Westwood was in there this week. You get to watch them play an entire round, and sometimes they play terrible.
Yeah.
And it's reminded that when you're watching coverage golf, they're showing the guys that are winning the golf tournament, which means those are the guys that are playing their best.
They
that
make
week.
It look too easy. That's my biggest gripe about broadcasting is, and that has been another big topic of discussion, but my biggest gripe is they don't show enough bad shots. So now everyone in the world thinks that it's too easy. The ball goes too straight. I read somebody say that they haven't seen a snap hook in 10 years. And it's just, it's BS. It's full-blown BS. I'll see a snap hook almost every single week on tour. It still happens, but they don't show those shots.
Right.
You need to show more bad shots to then show how good these great players are playing.
But you're not going to sit there and show a whole bunch of bad shots.
No,
because
but
it's a bad
show
product.
It here
it's
and
just,
there.
Right. I know I get what you're
just
saying.
Show
it's
it.
Just, as somebody on this side of it that, you know, broadcasts stuff for a living, you know, you're just not going to show this guy chunked a wedge 20 yards. There's so many more shots going on the golf course that a producer's going to throw that one out to show John Rahm stuffing it on five. Because that's what that's what you're watching. Golf is so unique because in basketball you see James Harden go 2 for 17 from three, and you see Tom Brady have an awful game once in a while, and you know you see
is that on the 10th hole at Riv, it's talked about so much about how difficult the hole is and how intricate it is and all these things. Yet we don't get to see anybody play it poorly very often. We watch the leaders come through and they play
it's
great.
A fair point.
And
I think it's
why
a fair
don't you
point.
Set it up early in the day and be like, oh, look what happened on 10 today. This is what can happen later in the round.
So let me put you in. Let me say this is you. And I know you're a little bit different because you don't take yourself, I think, as seriously as a lot of people maybe do in your profession. If you make 9 on 10 at Riv and you're playing, having a good week, you're 3 under and you're in 25th place going into Saturday, and you make this terrible 9 and it ruins your tournament, ruins your day, all that stuff. If they showed you on TV making that 9, a lot of people would be pissed off about that. A lot of players would be mad. They'd feel like they got picked out of this crowd of guys playing badly. I know you're making a face like this is part of the job. I know.
Yeah, I did it.
But I'm saying, don't you feel like that would be what you'd get from players is, why the hell did you show me doing that?
I guess, but I mean that... My gosh.
As much stuff as it gets wiped on the internet,
as much
highlight stuff that gets pulled from, you know, professional golf organizations because obviously an agent or a manager called about it. I just feel like this would be one of those things that you'd get pushed back day of, week of, yeah, if that was the case. But
might be right.
I do think your initial point is so true that if you don't ever see the guys struggle, then it looks like it's so easy all the time. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right, I think you can get to your question after we had our 30
I have
30
one quick
time.
One. Joe Klein, 41. Confirmation the gift.
40 Joe Kleins before him, huh?
maybe that's his little round.
41? Let's see. Let's see if there's a Joe. How do you spell his? I'm going to look up Joe Klein, 40. K-L-E-I-N?
C-L-I-N-E.
Do it again.
Joe.
Yep.
As in Joe.
Yep.
And then C-L-I-N-E, 41. Or 40.
Let's see Joe.
He asked about the gift card grab bag. And yes, it will be on and popping in Orlando. I know there's got to be a lot of Sizzlers in Orlando.
There's no Joe Klein 40.
Yes, it's his favorite number. That's good. Second question. Okay. This is from MDP at MDP Go Blue. I don't know what that means.
Michigan probably, huh? Okay. Go Maize now. You're probably
If I could guarantee you a win at the Masters, but you could only drink Fiji water for the rest of your life, would you accept?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd accept.
Obviously.
We've gone over this. You can hand me a Fiji water or a case. If you have enough money to afford a whole case, then you probably won 3 Masters. And then, yeah, you can kick me in the nuts.
Yes, all of it.
Drink all of it.
Do you mind taking your hat off real quick? Just real quick. Because Martin here, West.
Tan line question?
Yeah. How do you combat white forehead syndrome?
Miss more cuts. You could take your hat off on the weekend. I probably used to have a pretty nice bronze
That's actually
forehead.
A pretty quick answer. I'm very impressed.
I thought about it a lot when I had a nice bronze forehead that I wanted a nice bad tan line.
Captain Insano.
Okay. This is going to be a good question.
He's, yeah, exactly. He responded to his own answer, by the way. So, you know, he nailed it. In your opinion, who is the most talented guy on tour that is widely unknown or overlooked?
Oh, wow. That is a hard question. Most talented guy on tour. Someone who's super talented, Sam Burns. I know he's quite young, so that's kind of a... Not blaming anybody for overlooking, but he's a super talented dude. Hits it very, very far. Reminds me a lot of Dustin Johnson, actually. Seems like it's very easy for him. Just kind of gets up and whacks it. That's a good one. Harold Varner's really, really good. I know he got some attention, obviously, at Riviera. There's a lot of guys that have this. You can kind of tell they have like that it factor. Like obviously watching Victor Hovland win this week, he's got the it factor, and you could just watch him swing it and not see where the ball goes and know that he can do this stuff in his sleep. I think a lot of the guys though do get recognized. I think that, or at least I wouldn't know as much behind the scenes, but on tour, I feel like so many people know some of these young kids that come up, or, you know, people like Charles Howell, who's like the most talented person I've ever seen hit a golf ball. I guess you could say he's overlooked a little bit, but obviously over time he's gotten a lot of attention, but he probably deserves more each week. Jason Kokrak, somebody like that, he had a great year last year. I didn't feel like got talked about a lot, which I understand didn't win. It's tough if you don't win, but people like that, you just watch hit a golf ball and it just has a different noise, has that different flight. But mine's been, and I'm waiting for him to catch fire is Sam Burns. Another one, I know I talked about him last week, and I'm a little biased because he's a buddy of mine, but Taylor Gooch is really good. Taylor has so few weaknesses, if any. Hits the ball awesome, has great in the wind, hits it far, great short game and good putter, and not scared of any moment at all. So like that's another person I would say that he'll pop off soon too, and you'll be wondering why you didn't hear more about him.
Is there guys, and obviously I'm not going to make any names, but on the flip side of that, are there guys where you see them on the range, you play with them, and you think, this guy's not going to make it?
Well, there's been a couple over time, but what's so funny is I get that question a lot. And what's funny is we have this weird perception that everyone on the tour hits the golf ball so flush all the time. And that's not true, even for some of the best players in the world. People like Rory, for instance, he hits it pretty much solid every time, but a lot of people miss shots and thin it here and there. Some guys don't compress the golf ball a lot, and I think that we kind of assume that everyone does. They hit it as hard as you can imagine, whether, you know, speed is up or not, they're absolutely melting it. And so some guys don't, and you could look at that as, oh my gosh, like how is, you know, he doing this? But also every guy I've ever seen who I thought in some area of their game I thought like, oh, you know, that's not great, or what you know, you would think is up to par. They are so freaking good at something else that it's like, what, you know, why, right. Who cares?
Yeah,
you
like
know?
Freddie Jakobsen never hit the ball great, but he'd get the ball in the hole. He'd make every 10 footer. If you make every 10
like
footer.
70 holes without a bogey on in a tour event. So yeah, people like that. Then like, again, you got to go back to their mind. Maybe their course management is just that much better than other people's. But yeah, I mean, sure, some people, you can look around and think, man, that you know, that's not what I see with the top guys, but then you can look at yourself and be like, well, why does he keep beating you every week?
Right.
Like, he's obviously, you know, doing something. Something's
working.
Yeah. So that's always a tough question, because it's not a slight at anybody, but like I said, we have this weird idea that compression, if you don't compress the golf ball, it's unimpressive, like, to watch. And it's honestly probably the opposite. It's more because they have more control, and they really understand where their golf ball is going to go better than others.
So one thing I was talking, I think I was talking to DJ Bajowski, our buddy, and No Laying Up. What do we call him? We call him Rivals.
Rivals. Yeah.
They had a great week.
Man, they did.
Shout out to the No
Laying
Up
lot
guys.
I got a lot of where are you guys, and I had nothing.
Nothing.
I was
nothing.
Left very speechless.
That was as good a golf podcast as there's going to be out there. But I was talking one time about, with PGA Tour Live and with groups in general, one thing that I wish we saw a little bit more, just occasionally, just to change it up, is a grouping, three guys that play it completely different.
Yeah.
Instead of doing Bubba, DJ, Rom.
Yeah.
You know, throw in somebody that hits it.
That's why I love Spieth.
275.
Spieth is thrown in with DJ, Rom, Spieth. And, or I guess that's what before, I guess Ron was playing. And there's two guys who smash it. Not that Jordan doesn't hit it far, but they play such a different game. Ball is so much more in the air and just kind of overpowering golf course. Then you have Spieth, who is the opposite. That's why I always enjoyed those PGA Tour Lives, because it was such a difference between three people. And he, in the top 10 in the world, that type of game is getting less and less. It's becoming more and more unique, and it was fun to watch. Like when Luke Donald was number one in the world,
right.
He was kind of one of the first guys in a while to not be a bomber, to absolutely putt the lights out of it and chip the lights out of it and be beating people who are making the golf course kind of come to their knees a little bit more. And that's why I agree with you. I wish there was a little bit more separation in these groupings.
Just the early weeks, if you're going to put them on TV, because I just feel like that, to your point, we, and I do it too, we think about pro golf and we think, and you think, you close your eyes and you see Rory, or you close your eyes and you see Dustin.
That's
not, you close your eyes
Tour.
And you see Rom. And those guys are the best at it. But that's not always the case. I mean, playing with you today, you hit one on, man, I think it might have been 10, or what hole was it when you beat
six.
It? Six.
Six.
You hit it, and I knew the moment you hit it that you really got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes 20 or 25 yards longer because you kind of touched it. And if you're playing with Rom, who probably hits it, you know, 10 yards further than you,
right,
you're going to be past him on that drive, but it's not always the case.
Not always the case. And, the cool part about the PGA Tour 2, and I think this is the best part about the majors, is you do see so many different winners, because the best courses, going back to this whole architecture thing, the best courses separate high quality golf shots. Riviera, the leaderboard was, you know, mosh posh or whatever, mosh pit, hodgepodge of different players. And that's what great golf, you hit a great shot. It doesn't matter if you hit it far, short, long, high, low, high, crisp, great shots, maybe with the right flight, will go close. And I don't care how far you hit it, you hit a stinky little wedge up there, it's not going to go close.
No.
So that's what's so good. That's why I understand people's gripe here and there about the golf courses and whatnot.
It's my point always, when you get a journeyman or young nobody playing the legend.
Yeah.
And it seems like the majority of people are rooting for the legend, which I get. They're established. But this person's life's about to change, and this guy's not going to remember he won it in 15 days.
Right.
And that's why golf is in theory, the coolest sport in the world, because I feel like last year, when you kind of go through the tournaments and the schedule in 2019, there were a lot of guys that won their first event you'd never really heard of before the year started. And I love seeing those stories.
For sure.
You know, top the headlines for the week. You have one more question?
I have one question for you.
Let's go.
from me.
Oh, did you? Are you
my buddy Ray.
You have the question, but you're reading off your phone. Do you know the question?
Well, I know the question.
Okay.
I just looked down at my phone to remind myself because I have notes. We were talking about this. My buddy Ray texted me this week, and I think I saw it on social media. If Rory played 25 Monday qualifiers, how many do you think he'd get through in one season out of 25? I have my answer.
Well, you would know better than me.
Because of my genius.
Well, mostly because of your brain.
Yeah, big brain.
Max, I mean, I think it's less than people think.
I think it's more.
I mean, I would say 5.
I'm going to say 11.
11?
I have the series. Now, hear me out. Because I thought about it.
Wait a minute, real quick. Is he current Rory McIlroy?
Yeah, yeah.
Financially comfortable, won majors, has nothing to worry about.
No. That's it. It's Rory at this exact moment. He's
okay, so I'll bump it. I'm not saying 11. 11's crazy, but I'll bump it up a few more.
Captain Insane, how crazy?
Well, he's not shooting. What would you say? And I'm sure we can ask, you know, a case of the Mondays on Twitter the answer to this, but what would you say is the normal number to get through?
65, probably 7 under.
Okay, 7 under.
I'll break it down. This is what I've thought.
Let's go.
Pretty much all those courses are par 72, so they usually all have 4 par 5s. They're usually not particularly long. Rory hits his driver better than anyone on the planet. He's playing a par 68 the moment he steps on the golf course. Because I've played a lot of those Monday courses. You have to eat the par 5s because those are your gimme. You need, if you're going to shoot 7 under, you need 4 right. birdies. So now you're telling me he has to shoot about 3 under the rest of the day. I don't care. I believe that in the Mondays of all things, driving is the most important. Because if you can be in the fairway, you have so many wedges. All of them. You have so many wedges. Last year, he led the tour in par 3 scoring average. So maybe you dump one in there.
He led it in par 3 scoring?
Or maybe it's this year right now. He's leading the par 3 average. Something like that. He obviously drives the ball better than just about anybody. So he has so many opportunities that... Even if he has because obviously you got to putt well to shoot 7 under, but someone like him, he can have those days where he doesn't do anything crazy special on the greens and shoot 7-8 under. I talked you into it.
11 is a lot. Almost half. I mean,
TJ Vogel got through 8. I mean, I love you, TJ, but Rory's better than TJ.
What a fun experiment this would be. Let's see. I'm looking at Rory's season stats.
Going back to that, by the way, TJ's 8 or whatever it was is one of the crazier things ever. Patrick Reed got through 5 or 6 and then got his card.
By the way, I just want to say
Patrick didn't finish the season, so he could have got to 10.
You know, we were talking earlier, you said underrated players maybe don't get the fanfare, and we all know about Patrick Reed, and we all know about Patrick Reed, everything that comes with Patrick Reed, and I'm talking about all the stuff you read that has nothing to do with his quote-unquote golf. He won in 13, twice in 14, 15, 16, Masters in 18, 19, and now 20. I mean, maybe an underrated player.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really impressive. Took him a little while to get comfortable in the majors, and he's got, you know, 4 top 10s in majors, include a win in the last 3 years. He might be sitting there. Let me just tell you real quick. We were talking about Rory this year on the PGA Tour. 7th in strokes gained off the tee, 3rd in strokes gained approach to the green, 18th in strokes gained around the green, 2nd strokes gained tee to green, 2nd in strokes gained total, and he's 72nd in strokes gained putting, which is down from last year. You can look at stats and they tell you the story. A lot of the time, sometimes they don't. The Rory stats kind of tell you the story. The Monday thing is...
I understand part of it is a crapshoot. You have to go stupid low. You got to be hot. But the people who get through are usually the better players.
Right.
I mean, TJ is one of the better players you'll meet. He's one of the better players on the Korn Ferry Tour. He got through a lot of those, not because he was just stupid hot on Mondays. I mean, of course, part of it is that, but it's because he's one of the better players. So now you're throwing Rory, who is the best player in the world. Other people playing in the event know that he's playing in the event. He's going to have a little intimidation factor. I'm guaranteeing the guys he plays with do not play very well. So he's already eliminated 2 people. I mean, he's one of the better players in the world.
What'd you do if you're 23-year-old, you know, Dakota's tour player,
yeah,
and you're doing a Monday into the Wells Fargo
And Rory is standing inside. I'm going to ask you this question. Let's say today we all went out to Phoenix and we got a bunch of guys from around here, a bunch of pros, club pros, whatever. And we played Phoenix and Rory came to play Phoenix. And you could bet all the lines are dead even. Everyone is even odds to win the day. Who are you picking to win that day?
Rory.
You're picking Rory.
Right.
So, of course, like he will make a lot of them.
Andrew play into his handicap, or is it? Well, is Andrew playing?
Andrew did. Like I said, he lit the place on fire for a 77. It's pretty remarkable.
All right, we are going to take one last break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you about what our segments are now going to be called, because it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant call. All right, we are back. We're going to wrap this up. A lot of our segments that we roll out basically rely on Max playing in a PGA Tour event. So a lot of these we're not going to ask this week. But before we get into them, I just want to say, if you like the podcast, first, thank you for listening. We are big fans of you. And really, we call that one Twitter follower this week, but you're all that. Or you're all Greg to us, I would say. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I know I say this quite often, but I appreciate.
I thought you fell asleep.
Everybody, I lost my train of thought, and then what I was going to say made no sense. So I'm going to just go back up. You called me out. You got it. I had this whole joke planned out, and it didn't make any sense.
Your eyes kind of closed.
Yeah, because I closed my eyes to think if I could just climb my way out of the hole I dug myself, and I realized I couldn't. So I'm just going to stay down in the hole. You keep going.
Okay.
Segments.
All right. So before we get to these, if you're a fan of the podcast, do us a favor. First, follow.
Well, first, forget what I just tried to say.
Whatever Max was going to do, hopefully that's done, and you're never going to remember that. Follow Get a Grip on Instagram. It's Get a Grip Pod on Instagram. Follow that. And also, rate and review the podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, rate and review it. We appreciate it if you do it. It takes you 30 seconds, 2 minutes, and you'll be done, and you never have to do it again, and we appreciate it. So two guys on different platforms, one guy on Twitter, one guy on Instagram. Eric Stover and Brian McDuel both suggested the same thing. Call the segments flights.
Flights. I like flights.
So good.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling them.
All right.
Flights.
So like the
championship flight.
And then it diminishes other flights.
What's up?
Like some of them won't feel as important.
Well,
you know?
Well, a lot of these segments today are in the D flight because you didn't play. So we can't even bring those up.
Good point. Good point.
So the championship flight will start with. Good idea, dumb idea. You have a great good this idea. The floor is yours.
I finally have a good idea.
Four episodes in, you're nailing it.
Whew. A lot of pressure now. I kind of also set myself up to be dumb.
No, it's good.
This is a good one.
You told it to me before we started. It's really good.
I'm now a big member guest guy. I played a member guest this past weekend.
You're a media guy now. You're a member guest guy.
I wear a lot of hats.
Okay.
I have an idea for a, quote, member guest professional golf tournament where whether it's a PGA Tour event or a European Tour event, the player from that tour invites a member of the other tour for a team event in their little bubble. So I would obviously pick Eddie Pepperell. We would win by 14 and then drink all the beers. I think that would be a great idea. I think it would get to mix in. You could even do this with like the LPGA Tour. I know that they have that event. The European Tour has an event, Vic Open or something,
right,
where they blended. I thought that was just a fantastic idea. So yeah, you could grab somebody. They're your partner for the week. And if you hate them, they go all the way back to a completely different continent move on. So I think that's a really good idea.
Love it. Love it. It would combine the tours.
A lot of exposure for everybody.
The one of the big talking points, we talked a couple of them. One of them is this whole PGL thing.
PGL, man.
You had a thought on that?
Oh yeah, I have one thought. It cannot be that cool.
Why
can't
that?
They have not asked me at all. I've been offered zero of the money.
Do you think PGL follows you on Twitter? Because they have a Twitter account now.
No, they probably don't. So they're not that cool.
Do you think Greg runs their social media?
Greg probably runs their social media, but he's probably working on their ski PGL or something like that.
Ski 88.
PSL. So no, I will not be playing the PGL. Can ask me now, but it's too late.
And yeah, you put
so
it out.
I'm completely on
you're
the
a PGA
Tour
guy.
I love the PGA Tour. I'm all in on Ponte Vedra.
What if PGL offered you the lower back tattoo money?
Listen, we'll take it off record. But I, on the record, am on the PGA Tour for
perfect.
Life.
But that's the soundbite we
and
wanted.
And now, if I do say that, and now that I've gotten that out there, I expect a lifetime exemption on
perfect.
The PGA Tour.
Perfect. Thank you. I will say this is just for your life. Your life this week. You got to hang out at home. You got to hang out with your wife. Hang out with your dog.
Hang out with you.
Hang out with me. Best thing you heard this week.
Best thing I heard this week. Oh, this is...
And you can also go with social if somebody sent you something on social that was nice, because...
No, it's rarely nice.
There's occasionally
no,
people
it's
say
usually,
some
it's usually
nice
stuff. People are nice. The best thing I heard this week was I now know my first day. I get to go play Augusta for a practice round.
It's coming up.
It's coming up. And I am
never played
super
it.
Stoked. Never played it. Never stepped foot on the grounds. So that was cool. I got a phone call. I can go when I want. I've been setting up this whole long thing. I will tell people about it after. But been setting up more of like a, I guess like a fun, not a fun trip, but I've been a little bit more keen into playing with somebody I wanted to play with.
Not me, though. I didn't get the
getting, answer. Unfortunately, not Shane, not Greg. Sorry. But yeah, so I'm super stoked. I'm going to go the Monday after the Players for the first time, and it'll be very exciting. Obviously, hallowed ground, something I have imagined doing a trillion times, and I still don't think I'm even going to be close. It will so far exceed my expectations, even though I've thought about it so much. So that I'm pretty excited about that. Do you have, by the way, a best thing you heard?
So before we get to that, I just want to, this is, you have no idea about this. I'm throwing this at you.
I won the Masters?
You've won. Congrats. So you're going to go in the Augusta National Pro Shop and probably buy some stuff. I have an idea. Let's see if you're in on it. Players Week, we'll present this to people on Twitter. Actually, you know what? We'll do it from the Get a Grip Pod Instagram account.
Okay.
So you'll have to go follow that. You can respond. We'll put a thing out there, Players Week. You can guess how much Max's Pro Shop bill when he goes to Augusta will be. The closest person to the number, you just buy an extra Augusta National hat,
sure,
and we'll send it to that person.
That seems very fair.
Got to be in the United States.
That seems
sorry,
fair.
It's really expensive to send it international.
Yeah.
There's one guy.
We found
one
out
guy,
about the sticker guy.
One guy was hitting me up about a sticker. I was going to mail him one free of charge. You know, all I do, I pay for the envelope. I pay for the stamp. Dude is living in Nova Scotia. He's out. Sorry, man.
This is going back.
It's
this
like
is why
bucks.
Graham DeLette blocked you.
I
you
know.
Hate
you know what?
Canada.
It's the hate. It's the hate,
hate
for the mail.
Canada.
I don't like their mail system.
Man.
Too expensive.
Pretty scummy.
So we don't, you know, proudest moment of your week, best shot you saw, all that stuff. We already went over that. That was Andrew Romer. But you do have a feel-good Friday because you weren't playing golf, so you spent a little more time on the internet.
Yeah. I think it blew up quite a bit on social media. I'm not sure the first platform to tweet about it, but there was a video of I think a young man, I don't know how old he was, it looked maybe high school, did the high jump with one leg, and it was absolutely remarkable.
Unbelievable.
I think it's so cool. Right now, this is like my favorite time of year with the social media stuff as far as the basketball team managers getting to play, people with some sort of disease or some difference or just, you know, not a lot of basketball experience that love basketball get to get in the games, get to watch a lot of really cool moments, people making shots, the whole crowd rush in the court. I know some people say that it's oversaturated. I love every single one of them. I think it's so cool that people get to have these opportunities. But this wasn't one of those where someone was given an opportunity or given a chance, although that's great. This person legitimately jumped higher than I could ever imagine, and he has one leg. So it was cool. I tweeted about it, but I'll say it again. I've heard, and everyone has, but especially in the golf world, I hear a lot of people in pro-ams and a lot of, you know, young kids talking about golf or other sports saying that I can't do that, I can't do this. And it's really, really fun to watch somebody legitimately completely throw that word out of their vocabulary and say, you know, watch this, like, I'm going to blow your mind. And it was one of those chills moments when you watch it happen, because you know what's happening when it gets posted. You're like, wow, this is going to be pretty amazing.
Right.
It was even more amazing than I could have, you know, anticipated.
Obed, and sorry if I'm hacking this name, Obed Lekhili is his name,
if
from South Africa.
That would be a miracle.
Yeah, if he's listening, he will. Max will send you a hat.
He's got,
he will send you multiple.
He's legitimately world famous now.
Yeah, oh, it's gone viral. But I believe that's how you would pronounce his name. And yeah,
pretty cool, man.
That video has surfaced, and he lost his leg in 2008 when he was just 8 years old, and that was
Shout out to him. I hope people that, you know, are fully able bodied can take a kind of some solace in the fact that you can really set your mind to things and you don't need to ever kind of feel down or bad about yourself, and you need to like kind of suck it up, brush off your shoulders and get to work. Cause he obviously put a ton of work into that, not only mentally, but physically, to be able to do something so, so amazing.
Jay-Z quote there. Maybe that's the song you're going to listen to.
I do love that song.
Maybe that's the Jay-Z's song you're going to listen to going down Magnolia Lane.
Again, I'm playing whatever music the Masters or Augusta tells me.
You should have to play the Master song.
That's fair. That's
a little on the nose, but it would be okay.
It's kind of a look at me moment.
Do you think Fred Ridley would be like, really, Max? That song?
I might just walk Magnolia to really soak it in.
What's going to be wild is when you pull up and they know who you are. That's going to be a weird moment.
But like, is it no because it's like, oh, we've heard about you. You need to leave. You're wearing the wrong collar. Or is it going to be like, oh, hi, you know, we knew you were coming.
Oh, yeah, you're here. Yeah. your goal is to get caddy bib one. I think they number them out as a rival. You need to be the first one there.
So I just thought about this, but I was joking with Adam Long at Kapalua for the tournament champions this year. And myself, my wife, him, his wife, and Corey Connors and his wife all went to dinner. We walk into the hotel and some rooms were on the left and the others on the right. And we had this running joke that the right rooms were much better than the left rooms because we were in the left rooms, Corey was in the right. So we get into the hotel, we break left, say bye to the Connors, they go right, and we start going on this joke again. And I told Adam, I said, the right room is, oh, Mr. Connors, you know, can't wait to see you next year. And the left rooms for me and Adam were, guys, you must be so happy to be here. So we had that joke. So I think I'm gonna have to rerun that one for the Masters.
Need to get the room where they're, oh,
wow,
can't wait to have you back again next year.
Tiger, see you next year.
Before we go, do you want to complain about your world ranking dropping this week since you didn't play golf?
I'm not going to complain. I mean, I lost to you this week. It should have probably dropped lower. No offense. It's been.
I haven't checked. I have not checked.
Did you call in? Is that why it dropped?
Yeah,
this week?
I said you guys got to drop a couple more spots.
I'm not gonna complain. It is becoming now, which is a great problem now. Like I finally understand the importance. Yeah. Well, I mean, it updates every week, so you check it
every week.
Yeah, because now it's a cool goal. I really want to get into the Dell Match Play. That's like a humongous goal of mine right now. I think that would be great in Austin.
Great event.
Weeks. It looks you so should fun. Get into I it. Love, yeah, I love match play. It seems like a really cool course, so that's like been my big goal. But I obviously need to play better to do so. But yeah, it's kind of fun. Everybody has goals, right?
Right.
In little ways, I've never been a huge. I want to end the season at X, but I've always kind of had these mini goals, like most people do along the way, and that's kind of becoming mine. Is just seeing. I think Joe and I wanted to see if, or our plan was to try to get inside the top 50 by the end of the. year. So now that it's becoming a little closer, it becomes a main thought I have and a main motivation to go practice and work harder. So dropping today without playing stinks, but that's kind of the way it works when other people play and play well.
So we'll leave you on this. Max, I got some good news. I'm glad you're sitting down. Because as we say goodbye to episode 4 of Get a Grip, you have moved into 6th.
Oh my god!
On the Aeon.
Didn't even think about it. I'm telling you, I will not play the rest of the year. I will give up all chances of Ryder Cup.
You are trailing the likes of Jason Day.
Oh, that's tough.
Justin Thomas.
It's really tough.
Graham McDowell.
Really
Charles Howell III.
God, these are some names.
Denny McCarthy.
All right.
That's 1 through 5, and Max sits at 6. You have played 10 risk reward events.
How does the system work?
Can I just say this?
It doesn't make sense. And we look quizzical.
You and I giving
it a quizzical look over there.
You and I love the Aeon risk reward challenge. We hope Aeon's listening, and we hope Aeon supports the podcast at some point. Aeon, you got to make the scoring a little clearer. The leaders are average to par minus 1.100.
Cannot possibly be right.
Makes no sense. You are...
Oh, for the week. It's probably per week.
You are minus 0.941.
Yeah. That makes sense. For the week.
So explain that to me.
Over 4 days, they're probably averaging minus 1.1 on that hole.
So you're under par is minus.
Yeah, I'm almost a shot under par on the Aon risk reward challenge.
Okay, there you go. Then I'm just an idiot. Oh. You've played 38 rounds.
No comment.
You've played 10 events. It says you have 2 rounds to go. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, they know that I'm going to bail after I make 2 birdies.
Well, Adam Scott's behind you and he has 16 rounds to go. I guess you have to get to 40 to qualify.
Oh, okay.
40 looks so like I'm the rounds there. To qualify. Yeah, because Jason Day's played 20.
So I do need to get to, okay, I need do need to get
so you
two
need to
more
play,
rounds.
So in 2 weeks, your next event's what?
Bay Hill.
Bay Hill, what hole do you think it is?
Palmer Invitational. Maybe 6 with the big lake. Where you have to hit it way over the water.
Didn't John Daly try to drive the green one time?
Yeah, bold.
Made like 15 or 18, I believe.
Yeah, which is kind of sick.
This was the 11th hole this week.
To peck.
Yeah, and oh, we got it. We have it here. Hold on.
6?
Hold on. We
I don't even have another guess. 18?
No, oh, wait a minute. So there's just this. We're learning so many things. There's just.
Yeah, I haven't seen you this excited ever.
There's just 10 events? You nailed it. Wait. The 16th hole of Bay Hill is the risk
16.
Board.
Okay. So that I did not nail it. But the par 5, short par 5.
But you nailed it.
I nailed the golf course. Yeah. I nailed it.
API played at Bay Hill.
I nailed it. Did that's I move up to 5th yet?
You're moving up. They just moved you up one. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Max, I'm going to let you take us out. Why don't you tell them all nice stuff?
I did this so poorly last time. I'm glad I get a second chance. Guys, thank you so much.
Where do they follow us?
You follow us at Shane Bacon on Twitter and Instagram, at max.homa on Instagram, at maxhoma23 on Twitter, at getagrippod on Instagram. You could also just follow us around. I go to dinners at times around 7 o'clock. You could follow me around there. You could follow Shane around Camelback.
Always.
Shane, he goes a lot of places. He walks a lot of places.
This is what happens when you do the outro.
I'm trailing.
You just start talking.
I could never be a broadcaster.
Get to it. Talk to you next week.
I will talk to you guys next week. I was trying to add another chef joke in here at the end. Couldn't find it. Love you guys. And thank you.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.